I'm Eric Carley. We're at the Great American Trucking Show. Joining us right now from Freightliner's Team Run Smart, a Team Run Smart pro that's been there, I think, from the beginning, Henry Albert. Henry, have you been, first of all, welcome back, my friend. Good to talk to you. Have you been there from the beginning?
Yeah, I've been there from the beginning with Team Run Smart. In fact, there was a program before that, Slice of Trucker Life, and that's when I started back in 2008, really, end of 2007.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. All of these years, and you keep kind of setting these new standards that are out there in terms of efficiency in a business. But the business of trucking, this is something that where you have helped other drivers through the Team Run Smart initiative, which, by the way, is a community of tens of thousands of drivers now online and communicating back and forth between the pros and other drivers, and a great back and forth. But one thing you've done is you set a new standard for efficiency, not just fuel efficiency, but also now using technology, what you can get the most out of everything you have available to you from your truck. And also the technology. Before we move on to the technology, though, remind us which Freightliner you're in these days.
Well, I'm running a 2014 Cascadia Evolution I. Yeah. Actually, it's a 2015, but it was built in 14.
Right.
Eric, unfortunately, the one part of news that I have for you, for the first time, my average mileage is lower than it was before. and that really comes down to what you were talking about with the training.
Yeah.
We've been finding that by training the drivers to enhance the technology, they're taking it up to a whole nother level. Well, because I've been using my truck for a lot of these demonstrations, I also have to demonstrate how to do it wrong to show them how to do it right, which is why my average has ticked down just a little
bit. It's by design.
But, because I still buy the fuel. That part hurts.
Well, that's true. I don't mean to laugh, but I mean it's a funny point that you make here is because you set some incredible numbers. And what's the highest you were able to reach? Do you remember?
The highest that I've been able to reach for a whole entire tank full has been 11.488, but I've had days where I've been above 12 for the day.
Right.
It earned me a really nice IFTA audit.
Yeah, okay.
That they went back through 3 years of my fuel tax reports
looking
for a problem. They said it was purely random that they picked
me. It was random.
But then when the audit lady was talking to me, she said, but in your state of North Carolina, we don't have any straight trucks that are at the fuel mileage that you're in a tractor trailer.
Right.
So anyway, I detailed and documented everything of why it was and ended up, I think it was like a 79-page report that she had to fill out to her boss, and she had to dot all of her I's and cross all of her T's.
Sure.
Because she said, when I go back to the office, they're going to be like, no way was that truck legal. But turns out it all was, and we had a good conversation over it, and she saw that it was all possible, in fact, that it was doing it.
Well, you know what? I don't mind that Henry Albert is teaching someone. I'm sorry that you have to go through an audit to get that done, but you know what? There's the plus side is that somebody at the regulatory level, and if you just mentioned IFTA, I mean, it's, you know, every driver's and groan. But if you can do that, then at some level, at bureaucratic level, someone's learning something. And who knows? There might be something where, you know, somebody looks at that and says, all right, you know, hey, this is interesting. And then maybe they take it down the hall to someone else. Hey, this is interesting, where your business model becomes, you know, a new standard, and even, you know, government officials are looking at it going, you know, wow, this is amazing that people in the trucking industry are being, you know, someone is able to do this, accomplish this. So while I don't applaud audits, I never do.
Never fun.
No, it's never fun. You were well documented. Now, see, I would be going through sock drawers for receipts and everything else. I won't say I'm not organized, but it would be a mess just trying to find all the documents to back everything up in my situation. But this was something obviously you set up a series of goals and you were able to accomplish. And I love that story. I'm going to be sharing this story not only through podcast and this audio here, but out there when I talk to other drivers, because it's a great story. Let's talk about the technology that you're using in the truck and how to get the most out of that technology.
So the one thing that I like to overcome when I'm training the drivers, so much of what they read about this new technology they take it as that it replaces them as a good driver. And so much of what they read about also is how it makes a bad driver a better driver. I really do not like that statement. The biggest reason I don't like that statement is because it's true. So if you trace all this equipment that we're using in trucking, or automotive for that matter, everything from our ABS brakes to the engines that are fly-by-wire, they're no longer a cable or a throttle linkage hooking to them, to your stability control systems, to even virtual technician. That, you could say, was in one time, it all traces its way back to Formula One automobile racing.
Right.
Even the automated manual transmissions we're using today. All that technology has its roots there. Well, the part that it makes a bad driver better, which is disturbing to me, but if you go back 20-some years ago in racing, the last place car was a lot slower than it is today. So the technology did work because
right.
last place cars faster.
Right.
That being said, there is something that the last place car still has in common with the last place car of 20 years ago. They're still both last place. It's the there's usually five drivers that win the majority of the races, even there where they have all the technology in the world poured into those. And it's them understanding how the technology works, how they interact with the technology, that brings it out to another level. So with that, I'd like to go, especially one of the areas that I hear the most of, they say that they don't like that automatic transmission.
Right.
First of all, it's not an automatic transmission. It's an automated manual transmission. And so I usually start out my training with them, and for the ones that, especially old-timers, and to loosen up the conversation a little bit, they say, well, then where's the shifter? Well, because the shifter's on the column, and they usually understand what I'm saying, I say, well, it's got 12 on the tree.
I love that one. So, 12 on the tree.
So we get into this conversation, and they're like, well, the first thing I start out with is teaching them where the clutch pedal still is. The brake pedal works the clutch and the brake at the same time.
Right.
So knowing how to interact that with the throttle when you're trying to make low-speed maneuvers gets it where you're smooth. But if they don't know how it works, they start getting all jerky and frustrated and,
right.
and aggravated. And it's because they don't understand everything they're doing. They're sending the transmission slash engine a command or a message, as it may be.
Right.
It's giving you a response. So the other unfortunate thing that happens, from the sales side of it, you'll hear how smart this new transmission is, usually from the salespeople and everything else. And I understand where they're coming from because there is it's somewhat intelligent. And then when you get around the drivers at the truck stop counter, the big thing I hear is how stupid that transmission is. And I'd like to get them both in the same room because I would say neither one of them is correct. It's not smart and it's not stupid. It's truly making every decision it makes based upon pure logic. We as drivers drive these pieces of equipment in an illogical world. So the driver's role becomes the translator between logic and the illogical world we drive in. So everything you're doing, from your throttle inputs to how you have the switches set, everything you're doing, you're sending the truck a message. It's giving you a response. If you don't like the response, change your message. In some cases, I thought that we were going to be on the Dr. Phil show with the truck getting and the driver getting them to learn how to communicate better. But you see where this is all going.
Right, right.
They'll complain that it over revs the lower gears and starts jumping all over the place and the yeah. transmission rocking the yeah. cab. I explained to them, okay, remember, it's a manual transmission. Would you ever put your foot anywhere near the floor on the throttle when you're on what, as we as drivers refer to, the lower side of the gearbox?
Yeah.
Well, they'd say no because you couldn't hardly shift it right.
So you
you're doing
because
the
you're
same
sending,
thing.
I think it's brilliant in its simplicity because You have to look at what the job of the technology is, and then how that technology – technology is all about communication.
Well, and
so you're sending a message with every action. And if you're reacting in a sudden way or in a illogical way, then the truck is going to react accordingly. The technology is going to respond accordingly.
It's just like any computer. If you feed it junk, mm-hmm. it gives you junk back.
Exactly, yeah.
So, like, on a manual transmission, you would progressively shift it. You wouldn't wind out the first gear in it, and you wouldn't put your foot to the floor because it would wind it out in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So on a automated manual, you start out by progressively throttling it. It's counterintuitive that by giving it less throttle, you get it up into a higher gear faster, increasing your acceleration rate. But if you start burying your foot into it, it'll try to wind out that gear because that's the command it got. So the trick on that, especially if you know where the torque curve is and studying the torque curve of whatever engine you have so you can stay in the power band, if you see it overshooting that, you bring your foot partway back out of the throttle, sending the message, I'm satisfied.
Hmm.
It'll reward you with an upshift, and at that point you can take your foot down into it deeper. Jeff Clark, one of our other Team Run Smart pros, was with a customer up in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan, with a driver, and showing, even with this automated technology, him driving it versus the driver that normal drove it, they had the computers hooked up to it, all of his shift points were 200 RPMs lower on the average than the driver that was driving it.
Hmm.
That translates to better performance, better fuel mileage, and a more pleasurable experience for the driver because the cab's not rocking all over the place as you're
going through that.
Right.
Right, yeah.
And the acceleration rate was nearly identical.
You know, it's interesting because we become impatient. And some of that is because of the advancements in other technologies where you expect, let's say, a web page to load instantly, and it takes 3 seconds, but that 3 seconds seems like 4 weeks these days. We have become conditioned. It's not just a generational thing. It's maybe a technology generation. This expectation that things are going to happen if I do this, and like you said, it's to ease into it seems counterintuitive, but when you look at the results that you're getting and you put the logic in place, then the technology works for you.
At the end of the day, I always say, once you learn what you're doing on the inputs with the AMT products, you drive it like it's a manual, but you never drive it manually.
Yeah, perfect.
So you're sending messages.
Yes.
And on your earlier term with what you're saying, I've referred to this for years, and it actually goes back to when I was a younger kid. But we've really turned into what I refer to as a microwave society.
Mm-hmm.
We're not willing to wait long enough to shake the Jiffy Pot on top of the stove
top. Right, exactly. We want it now. We want it within 60 seconds. Even that 60 seconds is too long.
Yes.
Yes. And that's kind of where we are now in society. We want things very quickly. We want things to happen. When we want that instant response from technology, and when you understand how a truck works, and in the manual transmission, the automated manual transmission, then all that technology will work for you. Drive it and think, put your mindset in the manual transmission, but you're not having to do the work, the manual work, as you mentioned. You're getting the benefit, but you don't have to drive it manually. You don't have to do the manual work.
You're thinking and you're communicating with it. And the funny thing is, when you really learn how to do it, a lot of drivers will feel like they're out of control.
Yeah.
But that's because they don't know how to have it. There's different switches and things you set that control so many things and your inputs. When you know how it works, it's actually you're in more control than you were with the manual.
Right.
But without that knowledge, and I'll go back to a story that happened. I had met, well, I didn't meet, there was these two fine ladies that were driving new trucks, similar to mine, and they were posting on the Women in Trucking Facebook page how dangerous these things were, and the end of the world was coming, and all these bad things were happening to him.
Right, right.
And I got to, somebody informed me that it was going on, and I sent them a private message. Hmm. And I said, I've been testing these since they're new. This shouldn't be happening to you. And I arranged a conference call for them that evening when they stopped for break.
Yeah.
And we got to chatting on what was going on and how they had the control set and what was going on. And they were wondering why it was all of a sudden downshifting, hitting the jakes on its own, all sorts of
wow.
things. And the snow, which was getting them to test out stability control, which
sure.
is a system that you're really better off not testing. It works well, but the
yeah.
point is not to use it.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So they didn't understand how... For one, how valuable their input was, and I taught them how to work as one with it through our conversation. They said, okay, this is making sense. Well, they still keep in touch with me sometimes now,
yeah.
and they are just thrilled with it now.
Great.
But that first night, with no instruction, this is what happened with them. They got handed a set of keys. They got shown, this is where drive is, and this is where reverse is, and you're driving an automatic. Well, for one, being the brake controls the clutch and the brake at the same time when you come to a stop,
mm-hmm.
there's people that prematurely wear the clutches out because when they sit at a stop sign, they're thinking like they're in an automatic. They keep taking their foot off the brake. Well,
yeah.
every time they do that, they're actually engaging the clutch,
right.
which shortens its life
you're gonna,
for no
you're
good reason.
Have burnout long before you need it.
Right. So
yeah.
to me, the training's still important. It's a different kind of training where we did before where mm. it was more visceral before.
Yeah.
Now it's more of a thinking game, how you're engaging with it. And in my case, I didn't think I needed – I used to race stock cars. I didn't even
yeah.
think I needed ABS brakes because
right.
I knew about vehicle control. I was wrong.
Yeah, right.
Of course,
yeah.
the other example I use is – I had a driver that I was having a hard time reaching, and he kept telling me how well he could shift, and I believed that he could.
Sure.
And I said, you know what? I says, I can really dial a rotary phone. I'm good at it. And he says, what's that got to do with it? I said, because my son can take a smartphone,
uh-huh.
and he can make a smartphone do all sorts of magic tricks.
Oh, yeah.
And I says, the point is, when's the last time you had to dial a rotary phone?
Right.
And do we want to go back to rotary phones?
Right.
It's the same type of a technology, but for some drivers, literally, when they get in the newest equipment, and if they've been out of the game as far as staying in an older truck for a while, it's like maybe not going back as far as rotary phone, but mm-hmm. they're going from a push-button phone on the
yeah.
desk
right.
to what we know as a smartphone today.
Right, yeah.
And it's the same kind of leap in technology. A smartphone will do way more things.
Yep. And the input has to be different because you're going to get what you put into it. You're going to get the operator. The phone is only as good as the operator.
Exactly.
The phone is only as efficient.
And my son's way better with a smartphone than
I am. I'm telling you, my 4-year-old granddaughter, she's already you know, able to do everything on a smartphone at 4 years old, and I'm just totally still lost. Well, Henry, by the way, you folks at Team Run Smart are blogging on a regular basis. So
absolutely.
TeamRunSmart.com. What other technology would you say is important these days?
Boy, what's important? It's all important.
Right.
The
yeah.
other one that we, you know, that goes into often is your collision mitigation systems.
Yeah.
Too often people are calling them collision avoidance systems. Mm. That's the driver.
Right.
The collision mitigation system is really supposed to be in the background.
Hmm.
When I get around some salespeople and all, they'll cringe, but really my goal is always to teach the driver how to never use it.
Right.
So the whole key to getting it not to go off is to stay a step ahead of it. But the first part's training people what it's seeing. I had a person that had called me and said, theirs went off for a leaf blowing across the road. I said, well, there had to be a lot of metal in that leaf because it only goes off for metallic items, so
right, yeah.
it won't go off for a leaf. Now, because the radar is shooting straight out the front, it doesn't know that there's a truck in a turn ahead of you or whatever. It's looking for a reaction out of you. So if you see that slower vehicle and the road curves left and you're in the passing lane, that slow vehicle becomes ahead of you.
Mm.
I know that. I see it out the same windshield as the radar unit down on the bottom does. If I simply put my foot on the throttle, it saw me reacting in some way, and it says, okay, Henry, you got this.
Right. Yeah.
So it's if you're not paying attention is when they start having the interactions. And I'm honest with the drivers at first. There is some false positives. But when you learn to look out the windshield, you're a very alert driver when you're even picking them out and reacting in a way.
You'll know when it's a false positive.
Right.
Ahead of time. What goes, again, that goes back to the beginning. Staying ahead of it. You will have a learned behavior yourself that will allow you to detect those false positives before it goes off, and you'll know it was a false positive.
And what I like about it on the driver side, it's as old school as it ever gets. The old rule in trucking was always two for one.
Hmm.
In other words, if there's a car that you're going to hit and you're going to maim people, the old time rule was that I was brought up with, is you do whatever you can not to hit them. You put it in the ditch, whatever. It might even take yourself out, especially if it's a school bus.
Right.
What I like about having the collision mitigation system is, one, is working ahead of it so you don't use it. But you never know when that moment happens that, say, I missed it. To me, you need to look at it as the safety net under you. Or as I refer to it as, when you have a parachute in an airplane, you hope to retire the airplane and never use the parachute.
Right.
But if for some reason that I passed out, had an aneurysm, a medical condition of any sort, I mean, I'm driving an 80,000-pound truck. That's the weight of, in some cases, 22 cars.
Yeah.
It's really nice to know that before that makes impact with another metal vehicle going down the road, the brakes are going to be on, mitigating what could have been a bigger disaster, but it's not necessarily going to eliminate it.
Right.
It's a mitigation system,
right.
And that's the part that keeps getting left out when people say that there's an accident and it was in it and it still hit something.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is it didn't drive through seven cars, it hit one.
Right. Yeah. And this is, you know, in such important technology, I believe, because I always look at it as an important tool, all of them, as you just mentioned a moment ago. These are all important tools. Embrace the technology. Henry, thank you so much. We could go on for so long based on your experience and everything new that you bring to us at truck shows, but we'll let you get back to talking to the drivers, and we look to have you on again soon. TeamRunSmart.com. Go to the website. Be a part of the community, drivers. And get involved. And thank you to all of you pro drivers, the pros that are out there that are doing it every day and communicating with drivers and reaching out. I know and I see it, and you just, in fact, demonstrated that with contacting those two individuals and staying in touch with them, going above and beyond what the program is even. That's what this entire spirit of that Team Run Smart idea was about from the beginning. So thank you, Henry Albert. Thank you, Freightliner, for making it possible. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Thanks for having me here. It's always a pleasure.